Oh yeah, the dance is on. MLD looking good in that. I spoke to him this morning, by the way. He's back in Japan, and he was telling me about some device he has that tracks his sleep, how good he's sleeping. And I said, I need to get that. Tell me what it is. So we had an exchange this morning. He's going to have to come back because, let me tell you, that whatever podcast we responded to with him was just so juicy. I think I'm going to bring him back and have him respond live. Whenever he comes back in, I know he lives in Japan and all that, but maybe we could even do something fun remotely with him. The audience, you guys seem to really like him. Welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All right, we got a big show today. It's crazy. I'm losing my voice ever so slightly, so I apologize in advance. I already warned Deli. I said, listen, if I lose my voice, you're just going to have to jump right in. Deli's ready. He's like, it may be JB live, but Deli's in the house. So he's ready. He's ready. He's going to be reading the chats today, by the way, because our computer is having some tech issues. So $10 and up for the chat. And here's what we're going to do. Drew Afualo is at it again. Aren't you excited? Y'all know you love me, even when I bring content like this. Drew Afualo interviewed TikTok influencer Becca Moore. You know Becca Moore? She's got an Instagram page out that says that the photos are for the ladies, not for the guys. So there's that. We're going to break down what they say about internalized misogyny. It's a bunch of garbage. Personal accountability, they need some of that. So I'm going to share some of that. And what does a positive message for women really look like? I'm going to tell you why what they're saying is not positive for women. It's not positive for men. It's not positive for anybody. So we're going to break down why. Then we have a panel discussion from King Rich's where the first question he asks are women entitled? And the women are like, there's a lot of that going on. There's a lot of confusion. Like, what do you mean? It's very sad, display of affairs, but we're going to get into that. And then I'm going to respond to some social media content we've got here for you. Oh yeah. It's juicy stuff. It's about, stay-at-home wives. It's about a woman lecturing her man. Imagine what it must be like to date like a hardcore feminist. You're going to find out. And we're going to close with the latest tool of the Matrix. So I'm guessing y'all don't want to have your clothing tracked digitally. The WEF thinks you do. They're ready to track your clothes and you. Aren't you excited? Oh, yeah. So we're going to dig into all that. That's today's show. We're going to start with Drew Afualo with Becca Moore. It's feisty. We're ready. Let's go to 1034 Deli right out of the gate.
First of all,
yeah.
My ex-boyfriend who dated me when he was 27 and I was 18. And he's my boss
goodness
at a pizza place.
Gracious.
Mad at you, Alex. I remember you. And I'm mad at like all the men that like I would date. I dated three of my bosses. Like that's so weird.
It is very weird.
When you're like young.
It's very weird, but it's not an experience that's exclusive to you. And that's the scary part.
I know.
You know what I mean? It's like... when I've posted videos in a video once where I was like kind of serious for once, I wasn't making a ton of jokes because there's nothing really funny about what I was talking about, but I was essentially illustrating that, like, you know, why if you like hate me, if you hate my content, if you hate my jokes, whatever, right? You're a terrible person. You're probably a bigot. That's honestly what it is.
Okay, but let's pause there. We started off real good. So first of all, if you hate Drew Afualo's content or you don't like her, you're a bigot. I don't hate her. I don't know her personally. I'm not a big fan of her messaging. I think she's wrong on a lot of stuff. And I save the word hate for people that I've actually gotten to meet. But I'm not a bigot. I'm also not a misogynist. I don't have the internalized misogyny. Let's just get all the words that they vomit out of the way right off the bat. So what's interesting to me is you have Becca over here. Again, TikTok influencer. I didn't know who she was. You're going to learn a lot about Becca in just a little bit, including all the plastic surgery, which she talks about. She's very proud of that plastic surgery, and we're going to get into that. She says she did it for herself. Mm-hmm. So anyway, she's talking about her bosses, and she says that when she was 18, she dated these older guys, and somehow the message here is that she was in some way victimized. So I ask again, is an 18-year-old a grown adult or not? Now, you can take issue. You can say, oh, this age gap. You can have your personal opinion about it. Oh, this age gap is too much. You saw that stuff that happened with Leonardo DiCaprio, with that girl that he's actually not dating her, he says, but there was this 19-year-old girl, and they said, oh, he's in his 50s. He's dating this 19-year-old. And everyone was like, oh, my God. Oh. All the women, first of all the women who hit the wall alone were mad. right? Then you had all the women who look in the mirror and see that they've aged and they're jealous of those 19-year-olds, got mad. It was a whole bunch of people that got mad. And then there's just the people that have to, like, they're unhappy in their own situation, so they had to judge. My response was, I really don't care. As long as they're grown and they're consenting adults, like, it's you do you, whatever. So what's interesting to me about this commentary is you were somehow victimized by a guy. You're 18 plus. You're an adult. You're making your own decisions. So if it's your boss, you can talk about power dynamics all you want, and he had more power and you didn't, all that. Unless he coerced you or manipulated you or did something that was non-consensual to you, you're your own person. You knew exactly what you were doing. So I just don't understand this. When I was my first boyfriend, actually, let me share this. My first boyfriend ever, I was 19. He was 34. And that was something I walked into willingly on my own. The reason that I walked into it was because I wasn't into the party scene. I wasn't somebody who was out drinking in college or doing any of that stuff. I was really like just working, studying. And he was the only serious male around me at the time. That's the God's honest truth. So I was like, oh, we sit, we talk, you know, go to a little poetry reading. I was that type. So, but again, I wasn't blaming somebody else out. You are a grown adult at 18, 19. So immediately it's like, I'm the victim, but I'm not the victim. Make up your mind. Are you the victim in society, or are you an empowered, grown woman who can make your own decisions and stand on your own two feet? Choose one. You got to pick one. You can't have it both ways. Okay. Let's go to, also, by the way, do you all like being called bigot by Drew if you just don't like her content? Don't you love that? If you disagree with her content on feminism, on internalized misogyny, you're just immediately a bigot. How many of you, raise your hands in the audience, I see none probably, how many of you are willing to accept that label? I mean, come on. Do you believe the audacity of these people to make these, unreal. Unreal. Okay, let's go to 1143.
Share is that we've all been wronged by men at some point or another, because y'all have been feral for the last 1,000+ years. You know what I mean?
But some girls, yeah, they do like go on the side of like, oh, men aren't that bad. Like, come on, like, you need to treat them nicely sometime. Like, you're king, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think that it's like Southern girls, they do that because it's a way to survive. It's like easier to
get
through
and
life.
It's like an internalized misogyny thing. It's a fight or flight thing sometimes, and it's also like just something you're so, it's like the most intense form of hypnosis. You're stuck in it.
You're brainwashed.
You have to wake yourself up. I can only do so much for you. That's why I'm like, I'm not going to attack you the same way I attack men, because women do that enough for them. Like, I'm not doing their bidding for them.
Here we go. So apparently, if you're not willing to say all men are bad, all men are evil, all men are terrible, men are all, you know, geared toward the same ugliness. If you're not willing to say all that, according to Drew Afualo, you are hypnotized. You are suffering from internalized misogyny. You're going through all sorts of stuff, you know, that she says she feels entitled to label you as. It's interesting. What we are now in a culture where you have these women who are perfectly comfortable saying that it would be odd. They think it would be odd if you actually just judged an individual by their character. So I thought that you were supposed to judge people based on their own behavior. I thought whether it was a man or a woman, whoever it was, that you were supposed to be able to meet them, encounter them in life, have experiences and interactions with them, and you were supposed to judge them based on how they treat you, were they respectful to you and others, and all that. No. That doesn't work for the feminists that are now on a man-hating escapade. They want you to immediately decide men are guilty, men are bad, men are violent, men are to be feared, men are stupid. All of these things about men at large. What's interesting to me is that Drew has a boyfriend she says she's had for a long time. I just don't understand. Does he fall into that? I'm very confused by women who, you know, choose to spend time with men. Obviously, if you've got a guy that doesn't fall into that, other guys don't fall into that. So what are we talking about here exactly anymore? Should we not be judging individuals based on their behavior? And I'm not saying you can't generalize. You can't say, oh, men today or women today. I'm not saying that. But you're actually saying here that women who come out and say, come on, all men aren't that bad, that there's something wrong with them, that they've been hypnotized in the South. Unbelievable. Also a bit discriminatory talking about Southern girls like that. You know why? Because they're jealous. Women from the cities, women who've been corrupted by feminism, oftentimes are deeply unhappy people. And what they're jealous of are those women who stand firm to traditional values. Oftentimes they're labeled Southern women, you know, those women who like to prepare a good meal for their man, those women who want to get married and have children, those women who want to prioritize what's going on in the home. Those women are seen as deeply threatening to these really unhappy women who are following the path of feminism. They're miserable and they're saying, well, they're happy over there. They're not supposed to be happy. What happened here? So it's like this all the time. Right. There's a lot of resentment that goes toward those women, you know, that follow the traditional paths because there's a resentment of their happiness. And it shows. Right. Did y'all see that, by the way? Not to deviate, but I will. Did y'all see that Chelsea Handler thing? I wanted to cover that. I couldn't figure out how to cover it because it's from The Daily Show and we're going to get a copyright something from that. Chelsea Handler basically comes out and does this video talking about how happy she is. She's so happy. She's like 47. First of all, I don't know if she's 47. She can't be 40. Deli, do me a favor. Look up Chelsea Handler and tell me how old she is. If she's 47, she's had a very hard life. And I don't mean that to be disrespectful, but she's looking weathered in many respects. I'm 44. Okay. So I'm close enough to that to be able to say that doesn't look. Is she 47? Tell me when you find it, Deli. She comes out and she says she's childless.
47.
Okay. So let me tell you, she does not look 47. She looks very, very weathered. I know she had a lot of work done. She had some type of peel or something. She just looks like somebody who's led a very difficult life, very, you know, complicated life. Maybe there was some alcohol, some bad behavior. Some stuff went on in there that made a rocky road, and it's showing on her face. And we all know that happens, right? This happens to men and women, by the way. If you engaged in drugs, you were a smoker, whatever it may be, at some point you're going to wear that on your face. It just is the way that it is. So something happened in her life. Regardless, she comes out with this video, and she's talking about how, you know, oh, I'm childless. And I'm alone and I'm happy and I'm going to get up today and I'm going to do. And it's just a day filled with like mindless, you know, just completely self-indulgent nonsense. And the only takeaway from it is that she looked miserable. She looked lonely and she looked like somebody who needed to make a video telling you all that she was happy because she's really deeply miserable. And that's what's happening to a lot of these women. And the message from those women, by the way, shouldn't be, oh, women, you should follow in my path because I'm really happy. No, the message should be, I made some mistakes. I would do it differently. In the same way that I sit here and I tell you, I delayed some of these things. And if I could look back and do it differently, even though I got very lucky, I have the most beautiful child. I got pregnant easily. I have this amazing husband. I got very lucky. Not everybody gets lucky like that. So I'm very gracious to God that it worked out like that for me. But would I have had more kids? Yeah, maybe I would have popped out another one, you know, if the timeline was a little bit different. So I tell women, stop listening to feminists because they don't have your best interest at heart. Chelsea Handler does not have your best interest at heart because she's not telling you how miserable she really is. And we all can see it on her face and we all can see it in her life. And it's sad and it's unfortunate, but it is reality. Okay. So let's go back to, that was, by the way, to trace back to how a lot of these feminists look at these, you know, Southern girls who live a more traditional life with distaste because they're the enemy. They're the enemy and they're happy. There's nothing worse to a miserable woman than looking at a happy woman who has defied the talking points and been happy as a result of defying it. That drives them nuts, literally makes their skin crawl. Let's go to the next one, 1340.
High school, probably like 17, 18. That was probably my strongest pick me phase, like where I was like kind of like coming into my own. I was like becoming an adult. And I really started thinking about things so differently when I went to school. Like I went to college away from home and I went to school in Hawaii. And some of my friends, they challenged me a little bit in some of the things that I believed and felt. And which I firmly believe is a great thing. I think it's a wonderful thing. That's why I highly encourage you to go to college if you can and want to. I highly suggest, I think it makes you a better person. You learn and like really become who you're meant to be in real life. Whether or not it makes you terrible, well, it's kind of on you. But right. I think a lot of times you go to college, you become more educated and more empathetic towards other people. And they really challenge my ideals.
Okay, let's
my
stop
sister
there.
Was a big part.
So what she's saying there is go to college so you can get indoctrinated and come out a hard leftist like me. You know, that's what she's saying, essentially. Let's be honest about it. First of all, for a lot of people, college is a profound waste of time. You spend a ton of money sending your kids to college. They come out. They have very little practical skills in a lot of cases. They spend a lot of time partying. They spend a lot of time drinking. They spend a lot of time sitting in classrooms where they're told what to think, not how to think. That is the reality of college. Also, so many colleges are left-wing indoctrination camps today that your kids almost come out being less able to critically think for themselves. So you've spent a boatload of money, and you're like, What did I get out of this exactly? A kid that comes home and starts spouting this nonsense that's completely detached from factual reality and thinks that somehow they're in the right. And by the way, also maybe ask for a safe space at the Thanksgiving dinner table because they heard something they didn't like. That's what college is doing to kids today. That's just a reality. I think it's also interesting, you know, this pick me stuff. I was thinking about this. They don't like this idea that a woman would be in a phase of life where she would want to be picked, right? That she would want men to like her. But I just don't understand. I just don't understand. If you're going through life and you know that you want a family, if you know that you want, women want to be received well by members of the opposite sex. That's just a reality, right? You go through life, you want to attract the opposite sex. Because if you're looking for a family, if you're looking for a husband, if you're looking for a boyfriend, if you're looking for that companionship, you know that guys like certain things, just same way that women like certain things. And so you're kind of hardwired to have some component of wanting to attract that. It's almost like now everybody who wants to do that very natural thing to attract the opposite sex is viewed as somehow corrupted or somehow manipulated or somehow indoctrinated. What I find is the opposite. I find that a person would be indoctrinated or manipulated if they go against their natural nature to attract the opposite sex and now want to repel them in some way. Because it's not just do you, and if guys love it, great. If guys don't love it, whatever. It's not. It's do the opposite of what men like, just to agitate them and leave yourself alone. And don't worry, you'll be alone and happy. Feminists told you so. So it's counterproductive to both male happiness and female happiness and the union of men and women. So these people are, the reason I take on people like this, by the way, is not because I have a problem with Drew Afualo giving her peace. I want to protect her freedom to speak her mind. But because I think what she's saying is destructive to society at large. And it's going to leave a lot of women really, really deeply unhappy. So I just, my message, and it's going to leave a lot of men feeling like a lot of women are like her, when in reality, there's still a lot of women that aren't like her. And your job is to go find them because they're going to make you happy. Okay, I think I'm good on that. Let's go to 1618. Wait, get ready now. She's going to vomit out the words.
Part of your growth is challenging the things that you love and feel now. Because, like, I think part of my pick me phase too was the way I used to dress. I used to never wear things that were too baggy, too boxy. I didn't like to wear things that would hide my figure because I felt like it made me look a certain way, which is also tied to fat phobia, but that's tied to misogyny too. They're very intertwined. So I would feel that way about certain things that would make me look masculine.
Yeah.
I didn't like, which is also homophobic. So it's like, it's all tied.
It is all tied.
Together. Did you follow?
I would like.
Well, hold up. Did you follow the language? Fat phobia, misogyny, homophobic. I don't know. I was like waiting for like racist to pop out. Like it was the only one that was missing. So, but you know what's really interesting about this? She's talking about herself. She's saying that back then she would dress a certain way, you know, because she was a pick me and she was trying to, you know, attract men. So she wouldn't wear X amount of clothes. And she had not only internalized misogyny, but internalized fat phobia and internalized homophobia as well. Somebody get me out of this year and bring me my DeLorean and get me back to like 1985. These people have lost their minds. Are you nuts, man? Are you nuts? And it's like, and you know what's also interesting about this? You always hear these women, right? And they're always talking about how they're in therapy. And they say, well, I went to therapy and I came out feeling like all those years I was just misguided. They come to a lot of weird conclusions. What's going on in these therapy sessions? Are you getting more crazy in these sessions, some of them? I'm just saying. I'm not saying there's not good therapists out there, but I think there's a lot of quacks out there too. These women are sitting in there and they're starting to get crazier by the minute. Man alive. Oh, Jen hates therapy. I didn't say that. Don't twist it. Don't twist it. You know some of y'all in the chat are going to be like, oh, get her on that one. You know, I got reported. I found out. Yeah. I got reported on Twitter. Some people were reporting me to the German authorities for that tweet about masculinity with Sam Smith. I got denied. They found nothing wrong with my tweet. So there you go. A lot of people were pissed though. They were like, this is phobic or something. This is non-binary phobic. Okay. All right, let's go to 1739. Now we're going to hear some crazy coming out of her mouth. This one, by the way, you should go to her TikTok for some insufferable stuff, deeply insufferable stuff. I was going to share it with you, but I didn't have the heart. I said, you know what? I can't have them sit through this whole thing and then take them to her Instagram. They're just going to tune out. They're going to think I'm nuts. All right, let's go to 1739.
Big boobs. Oh, like I got my boobs done.
Yeah.
And I think I did it for me. I'm still going back and forth.
I did it. You're still out. But
like, I do get comments that are like, you have fake. Like, you're just a, I don't even, oh my God, my ex-boyfriend. I'm not to get into that. But, like, he would, all, anytime he was, like, really mad at me, he'd be like, oh, yeah, then why do you have fake tits? And can I say tits?
Yeah, yeah, okay. Yeah.
Why do you have fake tits? And, like, you've gotten Botox before, you have your lips done and all of that. And I was like, I don't know. I don't know why
you're
I do all, that.
We're talking about you not having a job. Why did my aesthetic stuff come into play?
Because he thinks that, like, I did it for male validation. Like, he mm-hmm. really believes that. But do I don't you think believe so. That? No, I love the way, I love my boobs.
Yeah.
Like, every time I take my shirt off, I get excited. Like, I like that.
You're
They're,
fired
like,
up.
Awesome. Like,
they do. I'm sure they do.
I know, but he, oh my God, he, like, threw me back a little bit. Now I'm like, and then in our relationship, he was, like, super controlling.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay, let's pause it here.
Now that I'm in my life.
First of all, it seems to me like there's an encouragement of, like, this type of crazy plastic surgery. This stuff's not healthy, y'all. Like, boob jobs, I don't care. I'm sorry if you're in the chat and you're a plastic surgeon and make your money that way, but it's not healthy for women to be putting foreign objects in their body. And there's a whole host of autoimmune conditions that are now being linked back to that. This Botox stuff that people do, like, it's routine, is also not healthy. It's not. Look the side. Look, seriously, y'all have to get used to reading the fine print. The lip inject. It's all garbage, right? And it's all oftentimes done because women feel insecure about themselves because they're having to compete against other women. And this is about a game of competing with other women oftentimes. It's not just about doing stuff for men. Of course, there's that component to it because you're competing with other women for men. But even if it was like you removed the men for a while, it would be like, well, look what she did. I want to be the hotter one in the room. Women do a lot of that competitive stuff. That's very, very toxic. Very, very toxic. So she's talking about here how she did it for herself. How many of you in the chat believe that she bought those boobs for herself? Oh, look, no hands. Deli's like, how do you see that? Because Deli, I have x-ray vision. I didn't share that with you because I thought it would make you uncomfortable being you're in the room with me, but I do. you don't do that stuff. Listen, I'm not saying that you can't do things and you look in the mirror and feel better about yourself. I'm not saying that that's not the case, but you are doing that because you're out there in the world. If it was just for you, then you wouldn't be dressing the way you're dressing on your Instagram, drawing attention to yourself. She actually goes on her Instagram, like I said, and on the top of the page, it says something like, this is for the girls, not the guys. Sure, honey. No, it's not. Just own it. Just own why you're doing it. You want to get those men sliding into your DMs. What's funny about this is that later in the show, she talks about how she uses these attributes now to get male attention, particularly attention from men who have a lot of money, who are, you know, star athletes and all this stuff. So of course you're doing this stuff to get attention from men. I mean, it's just utterly ridiculous that we even have to have this conversation. Of course you are. And by the way, I don't care that you're doing it. It's your body. You're entitled to do what you want, but you're not entitled to say that it's healthy because it's not without me checking you anyway. And you're not entitled to lie and say you're doing it for yourself because you're not. You're not. I'm not saying you don't like yourself better that way, but you did that for male attention. You did that for female attention. You did that to feel like you're at the top of your game. You did that because you had some type of insecurity going on when you looked in the mirror that now you feel better about. End of story. And by the way, she goes on to say that her boyfriend didn't want her to do it, which probably caused a lot of tension in the relationship. And good on him, by the way, for trying to keep her from doing something toxic to her body because she wanted attention from other men. By the way, just think about that for a second, too. You have a boyfriend. You're a female. You have a boyfriend. And you're like, oh, I want to get a boob job. I want to get a boob job. First of all, the guy's already there, right? He's there for you, for who you are, what you bring to the table. And you're saying, oh, I want to do this. I want to get a boob job, this, that. And he's sitting there saying, I don't want you to do that. Like, I don't want you to do that. Maybe he thinks it's toxic. Maybe he doesn't want something fake in your body. Maybe he just loves you the way you are. And you're saying, no, 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 I got to do it. So you're doing it to get attention from other men when you've got a guy there. What kind of message does that send him about what kind of priority his feelings are? So you don't care what your own man thinks about your body and your decisions, but you care about receiving that attention from the outside male community. That's nasty. That's nasty. Mm-mm. Red flag, guys. She starts doing that, red flag. Oh, but Jen, she should be able to do what she wants for herself. Sure, sure. But you're going to find out in a second that it wasn't for herself because she's going to be her own leak, as they say. Okay, let's go to 1839.
Awakening, like, anger phase. Like, why did I let him, like, I couldn't post anything like that was too revealing, really.
Really?
Or else it would be a huge, huge fight.
Really?
And that was like a big problem in our relationship because I love posting boob pics. I bought my boobs. I'm going to post my boobs.
Girl, I got to make that money back somehow.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Exactly. But like, yeah, anyway, we broke up in June, thank God. But yeah, I'm like unlearning everything that he, because I was like so careful about like being certain too hot things. On, yeah. like, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, it's also, you know, other okay, than let's it's tied
that.
To his...
Do you get a life. Sense that Drew can't stand this girl deeply? Like, underneath it all, I feel like she's just like, why did I invite her on? What is going on here? I mean, because I just feel like Drew Afalo would naturally be inclined to not be a fan of this type of individual. I don't know. I bought my boobs. It's just, I don't know. I think there's something underlying there that she's just like, maybe I should have got a different guest. What was I thinking? Producers, you're fired. You know, something's going on there is all I'm saying. That's detectable by the camera. The camera never lies. Believe me. So again, she says that she's mad. She's upset that the boyfriend said to her, oh, you can't, what, you got the boobs. Okay, why are you posting all these pictures online of yourself? And she's like, well, I don't understand why he didn't want, well, because he doesn't want his girlfriend half naked all over the internet. Also, honey, you just told him that you didn't get the boobs for yourself. You didn't purchase that breast enhancement surgery for yourself if all you're worried about is taking pictures of the breast enhancement surgery and putting it all over the internet for everybody to see. Are you so brain dead you can't put two and two and add and equal have them equal four? I mean, come on. Your boyfriend is sitting there. He's not a dummy. He's like, well, first I asked her not to get the boob job. She insisted on getting it. And now she's telling me that she wants to post pictures of her boobs all over the internet. If you were doing it for yourself and your man, you'd be walking around your house like that. You'd be doing stuff around the house like that. Maybe walk around naked around the house, do whatever you want. But then when it came to the public, it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't be about that. No, of course, because it was about that the whole time. She wasn't happy with that guy. He was a backup and she was looking for fresh meat is what was going on in that situation. End of story. And it's not odd. By the way, guys, don't feel bad. Message for the guys. We'll get to the chat at the end of this part. Don't feel bad about asking your girl, your woman, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button. I love when they put it on in the middle of a sentence and I'm like, what was I saying? I'm going to have to get Andres Deli. You're right. Andres might be a tool of the matrix. You know, we love you, Andres. But bottom line is, you know, what was I saying? Wow, I really got distracted. See what y'all do to me? I don't even remember. And Deli's not paying attention to me. He's sitting here. He's like, what are you saying? Bottom line is, guys, you shouldn't feel bad about asking your woman, hey, listen, can you like not put all these half-naked pictures up on the internet? It's weird for me. Number one, if you have to ask her not to do that, you got a problem situation going on. You got a woman that's attention-seeking from other men. You got a woman whose her DMs are probably filled with stuff that you wouldn't want to be there. You got a woman that's operating on WhatsApp probably and deleting those messages. You got a woman who's, you know, got some text coming in and then delete before you can see him. You got a woman that's going to be afraid for you to look at her phone. All that or some components of that is going on in your situation. You got a red flag girl. Regardless, you shouldn't feel bad about saying it. If it does come to that, you should be able to just, I mean, be with somebody who doesn't feel the need to constantly parade like that. My favorite is when they're married, when you got a wife and she's like, all like, ah. I mean, have some self-respect and have some respect for their marriage and the situation, okay? And by the way, people say, oh, but it's, guys are always different when you're out with them. When you go out, well, it's different. If you go out with them and you're out with your boyfriend and you get all dolled up and he's on your arm, he's there for the experience. Other guys know that you're part of a couple. You're not out there to get attention from men. If you're walking in and you're holding your hand, you know, holding the hand of your man, of course, it is different than you just sitting on Instagram. There's no pictures of the boyfriend in sight typically, and it's you half naked all over the internet constantly on a repeated basis. You can't see the difference between those two situations. Has the feminism gone to your head? And just led to like some type of brain disintegration. Okay. Let's go to 2709. Then the chat. We have chats?
Yeah, we only have two right now.
Okay, so 2709. We'll go to the chats at the end of the Drew section.
I said be in the room.
Oh my God, you have to be in the room. They'll DM you after.
You have to be breathing and be next to them. That's it. That's the requirement.
Not to expose all the athletes. Also, if you follow me and you're an athlete, I'm so sorry that I'm about to say this, but like, you guys are so easy. Like, so easy. They're so horny.
They are.
They're so horny. And they're like walking around being like, what can I put my dick inside right now?
No, truly.
They don't care who it is.
They don't care. They don't care at all. That's why I said, like, they're honestly famous men, like men with lots of wealth and power. Are easiest so much to easier to get than like the average bitch who works at Best Buy. Like, I promise. Like, the dude who works at Best Buy, f*** him. If you want to date someone of power and wealth, you absolutely can. Easy. Doesn't matter what you look like. I promise. It doesn't matter.
I was getting flown out when I was like a two. You know what I mean?
Me too. When I was getting offered to get flown out and shit, I was 20 and I was in deep in my Anastasio Dipbrow phase, bitch.
Dipbrow,
and they still wanted me. So there you go.
I'm not even kidding. I used to. The easiest ones are, at baseball, hockey for me. I mean, I don't know. And then I would DM like reality stars, and this one that is on a very popular franchise flew me to Denver. And I spent a week with him, and he was on the show at the time.
There you go.
I was, like, in college. I was, like, 18 or 19.
Okay, yeah, so, me too, when it happened. I mean, I can't. Is she not embarrassed? I mean, imagine having no sense of self-awareness that you don't even know how trashy you sound saying this. And by the way, you're trying to tell other girls, this is somehow a positive message for women. Oh, yeah, just get into a room with a bunch of athletes. They'll stick their D into anything. Yeah, they stuck it into anything. It's called you. It was you. Oh, they'll stick this into anything. You know what? You're encouraging women to pursue guys that are only looking for, you know, one night stands or a little bit of entertainment here and there. Those guys aren't going to take them seriously. You're going to be left with women who are broken, who are sleeping with these guys, who are feeling bad about it, who are falling in love sometimes, who are getting brokenhearted, who are learning to treat sex without emotion, who are being fickle about it. Maybe they catch an STD or two in the process. Yay. Not so good. What type of advice are you getting women? I mean, this is disgusting. Instead of saying to women, like, hey, listen, you should be focused on finding somebody that you really care about. You know what? These athletes, these guys that are just going to sleep with, you know, a girl here and there. And they, you know, like musicians, they stop in a town and they sleep. It happens. They sleep with somebody and it happens. These people have, not all of them, but these athletes and these musicians have a reputation for a reason. But your advice to women should be like, don't go there. Don't mess with that. You're not going to get anything out of it. You're going to feel like you've lost some self-respect in the process. Those guys aren't going to provide security for you ultimately because oftentimes they're married and they're providing security for their wives. They're not going to give you loyalty. They're not interested in that. Stay away and go focus on finding a man who's going to provide you security, who's going to be loyal to you, who's going to be respectful to you, where you can have a family and have a good situation. That's the advice they should be giving to women. Instead, she's bragging. Oh, yeah, I would slide into their DMs and I would DM a reality star and he would fly me out. And what did you get out of that? You slept with a reality star for a week and now what? He's gone. He's probably got a new girlfriend. And you're just sitting around talking to Drew Aflalo about this nonsense? Not good advice. Not good advice. And also just like women are watching these women and figuring out how to behave. They're like, oh, they're doing it. They're doing it. That's the cool thing to do. It's not the cool thing to do. It's going to leave you depressed and sad and anxious and feeling like you went down the wrong path and you're going to do that in your 20s and you're going to wake up at 30 and be like, I wasted all this time because I was listening to these two women who were directionless and making a bunch of mistakes and now I've made a bunch of mistakes and I'm in a big old hole I got to dig myself out of. Ridiculous. I can't imagine like women have like so lost their way that you can even like get on. She's on a program vocally, publicly saying that she would slide into the DMs of all these guys, and she's proud of having been their one-night stands. Blech. Nasty. Okay. Let's go to 2817, and then we're going to go to the chat. Chats, remember, $10 and up, but we are going to read them. Deli's going to read them today. So, you know, a little extra spice. A little extra. 2817.
The easiest ones are...
Oh, we played some of this. Oh, I looped in. Sometimes I go long and I forget. So that's basically what we played before, her talking about how she's proud of her promiscuity. All right, let's read the chats, Deli.
Okay, we got two from Ryan, the Eating Warrior, said promoting college should be programmed in and unhappy. Misery loves company.
Mm-hmm. That's true. I told you, a miserable woman will try to drag another woman into that misery. Men, too, do that, by the way. A miserable man will try to drag you into his misery. Miserable people are a cancer on society. Go ahead.
Then we got Red Pill Rickster. He said, are you going to do commentary on the Tate evidence?
I saw that this morning. I don't have that. I didn't. You know what happened? I saw it, and I wasn't near a print. I needed to print that stuff out and be able to read it to you. I can do a quick summary at the end if you'd like. Bottom line, he was set up. But we will do a quick summary. Remind me, Deli, can you make a note of that? Because you know I'm going to forget. I'll do that at the end.
I got you.
Yep.
But we're all good on
We're all good. Chats. Okay. So now we're going to go to Entitled Women. You know that King Rich's show? I think he's using Just Pearlie's set. Y'all know if that's the same set? I have to ask her. It's a beautiful set. And by the way, I looked up those lights. She's got some really good lighting. So I think I'm going to make some adjustments in here. I'm just saying. But regardless, King Rich's has a... a podcast over there, and he asks this, the first question right out of the gate is like, are women entitled? Watch for the reaction. We're going to play this through a little bit, maybe a couple of minutes. I might stop and go. We'll see. Let's play it.
For me, I mean, I don't know. And then I would DM like reality stars, and this one that is on a very popular franchise flew me to Denver.
We're doing number two.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
When you hear that title, what modern women are entitled, what comes to mind? And we'll just go around the room periodically, so we'll start here. What comes to mind?
Modern women are entitled to what?
Entitled, like, in terms of, like, dating and in terms of their interactions with men. What comes to mind?
I think men allow them to be entitled, if anything. Men allow us to be entitled. I'm not calling myself a modern day woman there, but I don't know. I feel like that's quite offensive. Modern day women are entitled. It's quite like, oh, I think it's quite offensive. But I also don't really know what you mean by it.
So, okay, yeah, pause that for a second. Wait. She's offended, but she don't know why. Don't you love that? It's offensive. Why is it? Well, I don't really know what you're saying, but it's offensive to me. That's like just such a beautiful moment right there. Okay, keep playing.
Okay, no problem. What do you think?
For me, I think it means that you feel like maybe our standards are too high, which I feel like they can never be too high. So I think, yeah, just go for what you want and don't settle.
Okay, all right, awesome. All right, next one.
It's a weird one. I don't know what you mean by entitled, like, the rest of the girls said, but I feel like that statement is so dated because it's coming from a place where I think it's coming from a place where we don't fit the standards of what women were, and that's where the entitlement comes in, if that makes sense. So just because we don't cook for every single man that we're with and clean and look after the baby doesn't mean that we're entitled, or because we expect a man to pay for the first date, I don't think that means that we're entitled, if that's what you mean by entitled.
Okay.
If not, then...
Okay. I mean, where does one even begin? I mean, sometimes I really just get a headache looking and listening. It's like insane. So first of all, that first woman says no standards can be too high. They can, actually. They can, because what are you bringing to the table, right? So if your expectations are here, but you're doing what's here... Well, then your standards are too high because you're not delivering. You got to bring something to the table, too. This is not a one-way street. Secondly, your standards are too high if you're, let's say you're a woman who's, you know, 35 and you have a kid with another guy, you're obese and you're not feminine and you don't want to take care of the home and you want a six-figure guy. Your standards are too high because of what you're putting out there. So absolutely, your standard should be, and what you expect from a man should correlate with what you're bringing to the table. Because men also have to do that, right? Men can't have unrealistic standards of women. They bring nothing to the table and expect to get, you know, a 10. It's just not going to work like that. You're not going to get a 10. That's just not how dating and relationships and the marketplace work. Secondly, my favorite is the second one, though. Yours too? She says that the idea is dated. The idea is dated because she's saying, well, you know, just because a woman doesn't cook or clean or look after the baby and then expects a guy to pay for stuff, that doesn't mean she's entitled. That's the definition, honey, of entitled. What are you doing? If you're not doing any of those things, you're not doing any of the cooking, cleaning, looking after the baby, and you're expecting the guy to pay for everything, what are you bringing to the table? Tell me in list form. That is what entitled means, because that means that you come to the table and you have a whole bunch of I won't do X, Y, and Z's. I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do this. You know, it's not 1950. I'm not going to clean the house and have dinner ready when you get home. But by the way, can we make it 1950 when you have to go out and work really hard all day and give me all the money and put a roof over our heads and protect me? So can we have the part of 1950 that we like and toss the part we don't? Does that appeal to you guys? I can't imagine why it doesn't. I can't imagine why it doesn't. So again, here's a problem with modern women. First of all, there's a simple answer to the question, King Riches. Yes. Yes. Modern women are entitled. Secondly, the problem is that they're often, again, have a separate set of rules. Like, guys have to bring all these things to the table, but they get to say, well, I'm not going to do all these things. I just don't want to be that. So you still have to do all that, but I don't have to do this. Secondly, I think a lot of these modern women want like the NBA star wife life. right? They're looking for like a guy who makes a lot of money. They're looking for like a setup, right? Their house is like taking, they have the big old house, the beautiful car. They've got the husband who makes a lot of money, but they want their flexibility. They want to be able to work a little bit or not work a little bit. They want no real responsibility in the house, though. They want that guy who makes a lot of money to provide a chef so she doesn't have to do the cooking, and to have a nanny so she doesn't have to be running around with the kids all day. She wants like a Kardashian life where, and she also, by the way, wants that NBA star to be loyal and faithful, which is highly unrealistic. We have to just acknowledge. So you want to have your cake and eat it too. And what does that bring to the guy, actually? I'm just curious why he needs to have you there at all. If you're not taking care of the kids, you're not really, you know, in that case, you're not working. You're not, well, what are you doing? What, why? Nagging? Honestly, what are you doing? Why would he need, one of the reasons that people used to form unions was because men and women brought different things to the table. So you would have these instinctively nurturing women that wanted to have children and wanted to take care of their children and took pride in their home. And those were all things that men instinctively didn't do. But they appreciated it. They really appreciated what women brought to the table in that area and said, you know what, I love what my wife does for this home and family and all this stuff. This is beautiful. I can't do it. I'm not inclined to do it. I don't do it as well as she does. Awesome. And in turn, I'm going to do this other stuff that maybe she's not inclined to do. I'm going to go out and I'm going to work my construction job for 12 hours a day, and I'm going to breathe in all this garbage, and I'm going to be come home covered in soot and dust, and I'm going to be doing the manual labor, and my wife's not going to want to do that, and she's not going to be inclined to do that. But I got that, and she's got this. And it was this complementary structure that happened in most households. It's not happening in a lot of households anymore. And people are getting increasingly more unhappy. And people are just expecting these marriages to work when this complementary structure has just decomposed before our very eyes. And it's something to talk about. Listen, I'm not saying, oh, women shouldn't work or this. I'm just saying, like, look at what's going on. And it's time to sometimes just assess if the situation has gone in a positive direction or not. If you've got less people who are happy, if you've got children in situations that aren't ideal for them, like if you've got a nanny culture where some stranger's coming in and raising the kids, then maybe you're in a structure that's not ideal for the family. Maybe it works for you and you go to Pilates, you know, and you hop in your Mercedes Benz and you hang out with your friends all day, and you're married, but you don't really have any of the duties of a wife, and you have a kid, but you don't really have any of the duties of a mom. Maybe that works for you, but how's that kid doing? So this is about more than just you. Or is it? We've got a bunch of selfish women too. Nasty. All right. Let's go to, I'm going to flip over to number three. Let's see. So I want to tell you, you got to be careful. You got to be careful who you marry. You got to be careful who you marry. Let's take a look at this tweet. Deli, you want to pull that up? Number three, be careful. Okay, here we go. I'm going to read it to you. This is a sarcastic woman. She says, I want to marry one of these men and be a stay-at-home wife who cooks and cleans as has dinner ready on the table every evening just when he arrives from work to see his loving, subservient wife. And one of the days I can do the world a favor and put rat poison in the food. So this woman is commenting on this image that was posted where a guy said, is this too much to ask? It's a woman holding, I don't know if you can tell that, but I think it's two pizzas. Are those pizzas? They look quite tasty, I'm not going to lie. I wouldn't mind somebody making homemade pizza. I'm just saying. Anyway, it's true. I'm Italian. I like a nice pizza. But is it keto? I'm asked. Just curious. So cauliflower crust. But bottom line is, this woman was irritated by a guy saying, like, is this too much to ask, right? Come home from a long day of work. What's more beautiful to a man? Think about it. Think about it. You know, you know men in your life, or you are one. You come, you go, you have a long day at work, right? You're exhausted. You come home, you walk in the door, and there's a smiling, happy woman holding two pizzas, homemade. What could get better than that, right? I mean, you're like, everyone could be like, okay, that's a pretty, that's a pretty good deal right there. Not this feminist up top. Rawr, I'm going to poison that food. Ha. And you know, she's joking, but is she? But is she, right? Always think about that. You marry somebody that's starting to get bitter, resentful of the situation, you know, got into the marriage expecting that she was going to have that, you know, life where she basically had to bring nothing to the table and you were just going to keep paying the bills and doing all your part. You do your part, but she gets to just, what, sit on the iPhone all day long and go to Pilates, come back? So you got to be careful who you marry, because if you're really looking for somebody who is going to be pleasant to be around, I'm going to tell you, first and foremost, a lot of these feminists, very unhappy. They start talking to you about feminism. They say, bye, I'll see you later. Maybe you pay that one bill because you're a gentleman and your mama raised you right, and then you get out. because they're never going to be interested in what makes you happy. It's not going to be a compromise. It's not going to be a situation where two people come to the table. No, it's always going to be like, oh, this guy's got one up on me. It's always going to feel like this. A lot of these women, by the way, these feminists that marry men, they're like, they feel at their core like they're in competition with guys. So there's like this in the house all the time, because even when the guy's making money, there's like a competitive weirdness that goes on there, as opposed to a complementary structure. It's a competitive structure. It's wild to witness. So what was wrong with this guy saying this? Nothing. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing. And I can tell you, even in my house, and I'm not a great cook, to be honest. I love to clean and I love to organize. I really, that's like my passion. Give me a day of cleaning closets, I'm a happy person. I'm telling you, my husband leaves sometimes, that he and the baby go and they play like soccer or bat, you know, whatever. He's teaching him how to hit a baseball now, which he's doing pretty good. I'm like, I get to clean closets. I don't want to do anything but that, right? Cooking is not my specialty, but I will tell you, when I make something the other day, I made a nice stir fry. My husband came up. He had just been at the gym. I was very peaceful. He came in, smelled that beautiful stir fry, big old smile on his face. What is wrong with that? What is wrong with that? Somehow there's something wrong with that. But if your husband works really hard and goes out and buys you something and comes home with a piece of jewelry or something, that's okay. But you doing something for him that he enjoys, making a big old meal, put a big smile on his face, somehow that's bad? No, it's supposed to be a give and take of a relationship. Stop being resentful and bitter, feminists. It's nasty. Okay. We have chats? Okay. I'm just going to keep going. I know I made it 10 and up, so I made it hard for you guys today. I know, but I really want to get through the topics. I've been going over sometimes. Can't help myself. All right. So now we talked about dating a feminist, right? What a hot mess that would be. Any of you, by the way, in the chat, please let me know. Any of you dating, I'm going to ask Deli to look at these. Any of you dating feminists? I want to know that experience. If you're dating a feminist and you're going through some type of hell, can you please let me know? I might even read some of those on the show one day. You should send me a message. I want to know if you're going through some type of hell with a feminist. Anyway, this poor guy in this next image is going through some type of hell. So let's show it. This is number 4. It's from Leftism for You. This is what it says for people who can't see it. This poor guy is waiting in bed. Woman's walking toward him. And this is from her Instagram, I guess, or whatever. TikTok. I send TikTok. I don't have TikTok. Me on my way to tell my boyfriend for the 100th time today about subtle and internalized misogyny that permeates our culture without being identified and addressed, which ultimately leads to everyday oppression of women. That guy's laying in the bed like, somebody get me out. So can you imagine, this is you. I mean, what do you do in a situation like that? It's like, mayday, mayday, somebody save me. Someone, I'm on the Titanic, the ship is sinking, somebody come get me. What else do you do? You have to leave. You have to leave. I'm telling you guys, if you're in a situation where you're dating a woman who's lecturing you about feminism, who's talking about Drew Afualo's internalized misogyny, who's using phrases like pick me, just end your situation and go find somebody else. It's not going to end well for you. It's going to end real, real, real bad for you. Real bad. There's no navigating that situation, by the way. No navigating that situation. And what is this guy still doing there? Honestly, what a bunch of simps. Guys sitting there, got to be lectured about internalized misogyny. Yes, honey, I have internalized misogyny. Yeah, I didn't mean to say that before. I worded it wrong. I know it's not what I said. It's how I said it. I mean, these guys are just living like this day to day. No wonder your hair is falling out and you got low T and all types of problems. The stress alone, I can't imagine. Man, can you imagine too a situation like this where you're talking about some type of misogyny? Like, I wonder, did any of you guys ever say, if you're dating a feminist, do you ever say to her like, honey, where is the misogyny? Just can you show me where it is so that I can be more aware? Wait, what do you mean? It's everywhere. It's in this house, society. It's in the gender wage gap. Women don't make as much as men. Patriarchy. Men don't like us. That's what you're going to hear. It's just like nothing. It's nowhere. It's just not a thing. It's not a thing. This misogyny being rampant. I'm not saying there's not a misogynist out there here and there. Yes, they exist. But you're talking about like a cultural problem of having internalized misogyny in men and misogynists just on the prowl everywhere. Who listens to these people? Okay. You flag me if we have anything, because I won't know to look at you. All right. I'm going to go to the Matrix first, and then I will close with the information on the Tates. which I should have. I was going to do it today, too. You know, I was going to do it today. I don't know if I can pull that up in here. I don't have access to my computer today. Let me see what I can do, but I can summarize it nonetheless. I did see it this morning. And by the way, you should look. Everyone should follow me on Twitter at Jedediah Biela, because I post a lot of political content there. But I also post like more journalistic stuff. So coverage of things like the Tates and stuff like that, I post there, even if I don't cover it that day on the show. Let's go to the Matrix first, because last I checked, it's not a good idea to have your clothing tracked by the system. Can you imagine clothes that you buy in the store going to have digital tracking on them for the entire duration that those clothes exist, whether you have them, whether you give them to somebody else? Let's just watch this video. This is from the World Economic Forum. Do you have the video, Deli? Let's play it. I want you to see the type of crazy that they want to happen in this world. And then I'm going to tell you the subtext of what they're really saying. Just watch this. Okay. Five of the world's top 20 brands. Five of the world's top 20 brands are on board with this already. Does this creep you out? If not, it should. That means your radar is not. I'm not getting your radar up high enough if you're not creeped out. So again, why am I showing this to you? First of all, it's creepy as all hell. The idea that you would digitally track somebody's clothes means that essentially they're digitally tracking you. Now, the reason that this is really creepy, though, is this, again, this is extended as something that's beneficial for society. Oh, this is for sustainability. This is for to reduce carbon emissions. This is to reduce waste in clothing. This is going to help everybody. This is good for the planet. That's what they say. And what does it actually wind up being? It winds up being a tracking mechanism. It winds up being, remember, this comes from the World Economic Forum, the you will own nothing and you will be happy people. So what is the end goal here? Well, I'll tell you what it is. They want you to be able to rent clothes. This is going to lead to them wanting you. They don't want you to own stuff because they see ownership as a problem. Remember, capitalism is evil. You owning your own stuff and having your own money and having your own property, having your own land, having your own financial freedom is a problem. Because when you have your own stuff and freedom, you are less likely to be reliant on the system. Again, they want reliance and dependence on a system. They can't control you unless they can click something off. So in other words, if they say carbon emissions are up on a Monday in February, and they say carbon emissions are up, oh, look, oh, we're tracking this stuff. And we see that Jedediah over here bought 6 items of clothing this week. That's excessive. So we're just going to stop that. We're going to, she's also plugged in, by the way, to digital IDs. So we know X, Y, and Z information about her. And we can also just shut that off. So let's just prevent her, because it's also connected to the banks. This is kind of like a central bank digital currency. All of these digital components connected enable them to say, you're making this decision, which we see over here. This is connected to this. This isn't going to work for us. So now you're just on a pause. You can't buy 6 things a week, Jed. We told you that was harmful. So we're going to just make it that you can buy 3 instead. You see how that works? So they're not just tracking you, but they're dictating your behavior. They want you dependent. And this is essentially, this is basically an extension of a social credit system, if you really think about it. That's and they want to be able to tell you that you've either behaved well and you get a little round of applause and you get a little reward and maybe you get to get an extra piece of clothing or buy an extra steak that week or get an extra gallon of gas in the gas tank, or you've been bad, meaning you didn't follow a mandate, you didn't follow an order, and something gets taken away. They cannot control you without this digital stuff. This is just yet another example. But how creepy is that, that these brands are getting on board? You know why? Because they're all woke. They're all like, oh, the World Economic Forum, that's a great organization. They're just looking out for us, bunch of dummies usually that don't do their own independent research. And they're also a bunch of puppets. You have to remember, there's a lot of little mini authoritarians out there that are perfectly comfortable with being controlled. They'd rather be controlled because they don't trust their own instincts and they don't trust their own ability to, you know, build a life for themselves and be in charge. They'd rather have the government be in charge because it makes it like, oh, I can just sit back and be lazy and uninformed. Okay, you asked me about the Tates. Let me get to that quickly. So essentially what happened was there were wiretaps. This is not part of the show, so I'm not prepared to read those today. But somebody asked in the chat, there were wiretaps that were exposed today that showed that there were, these are verified wiretaps, by the way, that were leaked. And it showed that two of the women that had been making accusations against Tate, one was the Moldovan woman, I believe one was the American woman. Two of the women were, in fact, conspiring against him. There we go. Deli's got it. I don't have my computer. But wiretaps reveal the women who accused Andrew Tate of heinous crimes planned to frame them all along. Now, you can go on my Twitter. I've linked to them. Twitter is at Jedediah Bila. You can go and just read them. But essentially, they are the ones. The irony here is that these two women were the ones who manipulated the Tates into believing that they love them. They weren't in love with the Tates. This was a plan all along. They were using their lover girl method, manipulating the Tates, saying they love them, this, that, and the other thing, and then got the embassy involved shortly after. And what we're basically plotting, you see them going back and forth, by the way, in the messages, saying, oh, I'm a good actress. I'm going to be able to pull this off. Going, I mean, you can. It's really quite despicable what went on. So I ask again, now this is absolutely a frame job. And by the way, I was able to authenticate that they are real. And so was Suleiman, who we had on last week. I looked and I checked with him and said, am I getting the same information you are? And he said, yes. It's always good to have like a team of investigative journalists that kind of work together on this stuff. So I would ask, why are these guys in jail again right now? Seriously, what it looks like to me, they've got these guys in and they're just digging for something. But important note that hasn't been mentioned by a lot of people is that the Romanian authorities have had this information for some time. So not only do you not have enough evidence that justifies keeping these guys in jail, but you do have evidence that shows that the accusations against them are completely fabricated. So, and they're still sitting in jail. So again, this is evidence, right? You're looking for evidence that says, oh, these girls are right. You're looking for something real hard too, real, real hard. You're looking for it because you want to be able to put these guys away. And in the process, all you're finding is stuff that negates those charges. And yet that's not reason enough for you to go back to the drawing board and say, you know what? There's no justification to keep them behind bars. I think also that point that Suleiman made a few weeks ago about trying to break those two women. They have those two women that work for Tate that are also in the jail. I think they're trying to break those two women. And they're trying; those women are going to wear down. Listen, this is not, it is not easy to be in prison for a duration of time, right? The Tates are in there. For females, it's infinitely harder, right? We are not made for that type of struggle. It's very challenging. You know, women have, I mean, I can't even imagine stuff going on. We worry about our safety and security in a different way. We're not prepared to defend ourselves in the same way as the Tate brothers. You know, there's a vulnerability and a fear that would reside in me if I were in that situation that would be pretty substantial. You know, we're not as able to deal with discomfort, whether it's food related, whether it's, you know, being lonely, whether it's not, this is very challenging for women, this situation, and they know it. I think they're trying to break those women and try to get them to say something that's, you know, just anything, like get them to such a point of desperation that they'll say something that maybe even not, it isn't even true, just to get out and see the light of day. I think there's a component of that here too. I'm just curious why. I don't know anything about his legal team, but something's going wrong here. I don't understand why his own legal team isn't able to get them out. They want to continue the investigation. They can continue the investigation. If they want to, at this point, they should have to charge them with something or release. It should be a charge or release situation. But there you go. And I wrote something about today also. We live in a very dangerous world right now where these women can make accusations. And there are so many people, women, men, who everybody's been indoctrinated to just say, believe her on day one. Believe her, believe her. That's one of the things that came out of the Me Too movement. And what's happening now is that women make an accusation and people ran with this. These stories were told in documentaries. Y'all understand that? They were told in documentaries as if it was some type of fact. And there's just such an agenda to get these two guys and to make them pay because people don't like their messaging and people deem them as a threat to the matrix, to the system, that people don't even care about the accuracy of what's being said, you know? Everyone is so unbelievably compromised by not only the Me Too movement, but just the way society has changed and become this feminist garbage. It's like feminism is just laced through everything in quite a toxic way. So I said, you know, women who make, where are these women, by the way? So Andrew Tate and his brother are in jail, right? There's no evidence. They're in jail. Where are the two women that now it's been proven via these wiretaps that they were saying stuff, that they were trying to conspire together, and did conspire together to, you know, fabricate a complete story and a complete accusation against them that wasn't true? Were they just roaming around free, having a latte? Why aren't they facing consequences? Women who make false charges against men should face consequences, legal consequences. You can't go around wrecking people's lives because you wanna cash in, or because you want revenge, or for whatever personal reason it may be. You cannot walk around wrecking people's lives and not have consequence to it. And that's the world we're in now. This is why guys are like, this, by the way, is why guys are afraid to even go near women. They're like, oh, I'm going to be accused of harassment and I'm immediately going to be told I'm guilty. There's a lot of fear in men about just existing. You know, they're in the workplace, it's like you got to walk on eggshell. You can't, and I'm not saying there aren't people who harass. But what I am saying is we're in a culture now where we're villainizing guys, oftentimes for no reason. And those women who are making false accusations are getting away with murder. They're walking around sipping their latte in Starbucks, having a good old time, taking their fancy vacations. And some of these guys are landing behind bars with no charges for day after day after day after day. There's zero justification at this point for me for why these two guys are being held in prison. Either charge them or release them. They can't charge them because they don't have anything. They don't have it. It's been like 11 months. They don't have it. And they don't want to release them because then that's an admission that this was all a big game. So they're in a trap. Telling you something nasty, something dirty has been going on from the start with this. So that's the best update I can give you without being able to pull the messages. But go on my Twitter account at Jedediah Bila and go check out the messages. Read them. It's unbelievable, truly. Just, I mean, blatantly, like saying, oh, I'm an actress. I'm going to fake it. Oh, yeah, you better do this. You better do that. We're going to get them. By the way, they also say, the women in the messages, that they're trying to get a film deal. They're going to, you know, oh, yeah, let's go to Amazon Prime. Let's go to Netflix. Let's go to trying to get a movie deal out of it. Disgusting. And Vice isn't embarrassed now? Let's see if Vice does a follow-up documentary on the wiretaps. Maybe Matt Shea can grow a pair, which he clearly doesn't have, and go do that. Unbelievable. All right, everyone, thank you for tuning in. That's all we have for today. Oh, you have chats? Yep. Okay, go ahead, let's do that.
Those are the Chargers. Jed, where do you think a guy in New York, Queens, can meet girls aside from bars? P.S. You're amazing.
In Queens, New York? Oh, you got to get out of there, man. You got to get out of that cesspool. I come from Brooklyn. So, there's no hate. I know when you're from somewhere, too. I don't know if you're from Queens, but probably if you're living in Queens, you're probably from Queens. You got to get out of there, man, because you're going to meet there's a lot of toxic women in New York that have been programmed. I'm telling you, you're not going to be happy. Guys, I know you hate to hear this, but sometimes you just got to move. Sometimes you just got to move. It's real hard. Now, you can meet people through family, friends, through family. There's ways to do it. But you're going to be up against pretty bad odds in a place like New York, because those women are walking around with a lot of attitude, a lot of feminism coming through the veins. And there's a lot of entitled nastiness going on there. I was surrounded by, it was brutal. So that's my honest opinion. I'm telling you, man, just, you know what? Go to the South. Find yourself a nice Southern girl that Drew Follow's not going to like.
Yeah, we got one more from J.J. Barry. He says, I love you, Judd. Hope your message doesn't fall on deaf ears.
I don't think it will. We're growing pretty good, by the way. Thank you, everyone, for, I think we're almost at 150K, which is pretty cool. We've only been doing this for, I think, like 8 months. So I think that's pretty cool, especially because it's just me sitting here at the mic a lot of days. So what are y'all crazy coming here listening to me? But no, I don't think it's going to fall on deaf ears. The reason is that, you know, here's the thing. The truth has a lot of power, and they may want to lie to women. They may want to lie and say all this stuff, but people deep down inside, there's a lot of people that know when you're speaking the truth. And we're speaking the truth here, whether it's about politics, whether it's about the WEF, or whether it's about these modern women. People know that. So I think it's going to catch fire. One way you can help to guarantee it catches fire is to hit that subscribe button, by the way, and to hit that like button and to pass it along to friends. You've got like-minded friends that you're like, want to pass the information along to. Tell them to sub the channel. It helps me to keep this channel going. It helps to fund it. Also, remember, follow me on Locals, bila.locals.com. That's my own little space that I use to grow some other stuff. I'm going to be launching a website soon. I'm going to be doing a whole bunch of stuff that helps me to kind of branch out and carry the themes of this show out to other projects that you'll also love. So bila.locals.com is that space. You can join for free. You can give $5 a month. You can do whatever you want there. I have people that are very generous, and I have people that just hang for free, and I love y'all. So thank you so much. We'll be back here in a couple days. I'll see you then. Bye.